This is Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. It's another bitterly cold day in Boston. With the wind chill factored in, it feels like it's -2 degrees outside, and there's no immediate relief in sight. For more, we're joined now by WBUR meteorologist David Epstein via Skype. David, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, it's a sad state of affairs when it feels like -2 degrees outside, and it actually seems like a slight warm-up from yesterday. But how much longer until we get a real warm-up?
It's going to be a while. I think that people are going to have to kind of be reticent to the fact that this is going to be how we are going to start the beginning of January. It's definitely going through the first week. There's a good likelihood we're going to go into the second week of January in the same sort of regime. So I think you have to just make peace with this and kind of do your best to get through it and enjoy it and embrace it. And like you said, on a day like today with light winds and some sunshine, go take a walk.
Okay, and layer up if you do take a walk.
Yeah, layer up, hats, gloves, all that stuff.
Face mask, goggles, the whole nine yards. What will this weekend look like for folks who want to go out and about and celebrate the new year?
Right. So tomorrow, if you think today felt mild, tomorrow's going to be spring-like. You'll be in shorts because temperatures are going to be, you know, close to 20. And when you consider that it's been feeling like minus 10, that's a 30-degree flip. So literally outside tomorrow, it will feel a bit better. We are going to have a little bit of snow. There's a storm system that's going to miss us. About a week ago, it looked like we could see a potential snowstorm tomorrow. But, you know, as the models get more refined and closer to the actual date, we see what's really going to happen. And that's just some clouds and a little light snow. It could be 1 to 3 inches Cape Cod in the islands. In Boston, maybe a coating, but also maybe nothing since we're right on the northern fringe. And then for Saturday night, everything clears out. It starts getting windy again. Temperatures fall back down to the single digits. Sunday's a cold day if you're headed to the Patriots game or are going to be outside. Only around 15 degrees, those winds will be gusty. So at times that wind chill going down to minus 15 again. When you hear those numbers, it's not the entire time. It's real bursts of that cold air with the wind. Then New Year's Eve, temperatures get down probably around 1 or 2 degrees around midnight in Boston. With the wind, you're definitely going to want to be bundled up. You'll want to have, you know, maybe some foot warmers and hand warmers and things like that. And then New Year's Day, only near 10, but plenty of sunshine. That's a very cold day, very similar to yesterday.
Okay, so the best advice is get those hand warmers out, get layer up, just bundle up as best you can to brace yourself against the wind and the chill.
That's right. Scarves are really great. The hand warmers are wonderful if you're going to be outside for an extended period of time. They last several hours, and they're really not that expensive either, which is a good way to kind of keep your fingertips warm, especially if you're going to be doing a hike or snowshoeing or cross-country skiing or anything like that.
Or even just sitting outside at the Patriots game, right?
That's, yeah. Sitting is hard because you're not using the energy that kind of keeps your body warm, so you actually feel really cold sitting. And I know Gillette does allow blankets, so a nice fleece blanket would be also a good thing to keep some of the heat in.
All right. That's WBUR meteorologist David Epstein joining us via Skype. David, thanks for joining us and stay warm yourself.
Happy New Year.
So we know it will be cold this weekend, but if you still feel like enjoying some of Boston's best sights and sounds, you're in luck. First Night is still on. Joining us to talk about what's in store for this year's First Night festivities is Dusty Rhodes, the organizer of First Night and the president of Conventures, a Boston-based event planning and marketing firm. Dusty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me what's in store for this year's First Night. What do you expect will attract the largest crowds?
Well, let's put it this way. The ice sculptures are very happy.
I can imagine that with this weather, yes.
This is probably the best year for the ice sculptures. And we've got about 11 magnificent, huge ones. Our theme is Enchanted Forest. And I'm in Copley Square right now watching the beginnings of those ice sculptures arrive here.
Now, you personally, what are you most excited about?
The families and the kids and the little kids all bundled up in their strollers that come down and see these magnificent ice sculptures and the lighting and seeing our city take advantage of the things that we already have. We have the beautiful, iconic buildings of Copley Square lit. They're facially lit. So they're so beautiful. And I don't think people realize how gorgeous our architecture is.
Now, for the first time this year, there's going to be a First Night scavenger hunt. Can you tell us about that? How's that going to work?
Well, that's part of the, you know, the new social media, and it's been going on for a few weeks. And it's a fun way of getting the whole family involved to go find out where the secrets are, to post them, to tell other people. And, you know, modest prizes, but prizes nonetheless. So it's a way of getting the entire family involved.
And this is something people will be able to do with their mobile phones.
Exactly. Go to firstnightboston.org, and you'll see the scavenger hunt right there.
Now, at a First Night press conference earlier today, Police Commissioner Evans spoke about the security precautions that will be put in place during First Night, including having police officers stationed on rooftops. Here's what he said.
Unfortunately, that's a new reality today, that not only do we need the public's eyes on the ground, but we need to have some observation from up above.
So what else is going to be done to make sure the events of First Night are safe for everyone who's coming to enjoy them?
Well, being involved with many major events in the city, the BPD, Boston Police Department, is magnificent in their execution. So, for example, these sand trucks or snow plows that might be positioned at strategic intersections. That'll happen almost surreptitiously. You won't even see it happen, but it appears and it makes the whole compound, particularly Copley Square, a very secure environment for families and people to come to.
Now, weather-wise, we've heard from city officials that the high winds might impact the fireworks. Is that a big concern at this moment? And could the weather affect any scheduling of events?
The weather could, and the public safety officials leave that option open to them, as the mayor said today. Basically, your fireworks over Boston Harbor at midnight would be the least affected because they're not ground-based. The fireworks at 7 o'clock in the Common are subject to extreme high winds, which right now we don't anticipate. And the pyrotechnology or the light show at the Copley on Countdown at midnight in Copley Square, right now it looks pretty secure.
All right. That's Dusty Rhodes. She's the organizer for Boston's First Night and the president of Conventures. Thanks for joining us, Dusty.
Thank you for having us.
And First Night events are free and will take place around Boston on Sunday, December 31st and Monday, January 1st. Now, one of my favorite parts of First Night is the ice sculptures, as Dusty mentioned. They're a real highlight. Joining us today is the artist behind two of the ice sculptures you can see around Boston this weekend, Don Chappelle. Don is the founder of Brilliant Ice Sculptures. Thanks for joining us, Don.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having us.
Now, you finished one sculpture, a blue lobster outside of the aquarium, and you're outside right now on Boylston Street crafting, let me get this right, an 18-ton ice sculpture? How's that going?
Well, it's actually going quite well. It's going quite swimmingly. It's quite cold, and things are moving along quickly.
So that's good. That's good for you. You like things to be. This is like the perfect temperature for your work, right?
Well, it's not perfect. It's a little cold, but I'll take it. I think the last time it was this cold was 1994.
Now, just tell me, how did you originally get into making ice sculptures? It seems like a very unique profession.
Well, I was a chef for 33 years, and I used to moonlight at a ice house in Brookline and do ice sculptures. I used to create ice sculptures after I got out of work, and I did that. But actually, sculpting ice since I was 18, so I'm 59 now. You can do the math on that. So, you know, it takes a good 20 years before you can actually make a dollar at it, and we actually have a very thriving business at Brilliant Ice Sculpture. So,
Do you specialize in any particular type of sculpture? Or do you have a particular, you know, preference for the type of ice sculptures you like to do? Do you love to do these massive 18-ton sculptures, or do you like to work more intricately?
Yeah, I think, well, we do actually, on our website, we have some drink luges that are absolutely amazing. I think the best in the world. I don't think anyone's doing them like we are, so that's quite interesting, a drink luge. But I do love, like I say, I've been doing First Night Boston for 28 years, and I just love the big sculptures in downtown Boston. It's so wonderful. It's a great community give back, and it's a way to express your artistic talents on a large scale.
So I'm curious, when it comes to these big 18-ton sculptures, how does that work? Do you sculpt part of them off-site and then bring them in blocks to the site and kind of, you know, put them together on site, or do you do all of the work on site on Boylston Street by the aquarium? I mean, how do you manage such a large ice sculpture?
All right, so we make about 80% of the ice that we can use. We can't manufacture all of it, and we purchase what we call base block. It's C block. It's not perfect. It has impurities, but you don't see it. And so there's about 4 tons right there, and we've already laid the base block down, and that's something we don't do at the studio. But the two at the aquarium, the blue lobster and the piece at 880 Boylston. Most of it we made at this. I was like 80-90% of it was made at the studio, and we just shipped it in.
Now,
and they shipped it in modularly, so basically it goes together in pieces.
Gotcha. So you put it together on site, and you do some of the crafting.
It's
the
safest way. It's the safest way to move these things. Yeah.
Gotcha. And now you've also dabbled in making sculptures out of butter and chocolate, right? So how is that different from working in ice?
Well, what I worked for Hilton International in Geneva. Geneva, Switzerland, and Vienna, Austria, and you had it. And I actually worked in these one Michelin star restaurants, and you couldn't get a visa if you had it. To get a visa to work in the EU, you had to do something that a European couldn't do. So I was a sculptor. So they hired me to do ice sculptures, butter sculptures, and chocolate sculptures during the day, and at night I'd work in these one Michelin star restaurants. So it was a perfect win-win situation all the way around.
And now, do you have a favorite ice sculpture that you've made in the past, something that really sticks out in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of favorites. I think the dragon piece we did in 2014 was right down in Trinity Place. That was fantastic. One of my favorites is a piece called Whale Pods. Even though whales don't travel in pods. It's a misnomer, but yeah, that was in front of the Boston Public Library. That was 64 feet long and 23 feet tall. That was amazing.
And just how long does it take you to craft something like that? I mean, these massive pieces.
I was a lot younger then. I actually I had a lot of help building it, but I sculpted it all myself. So it was,
Is it weeks? Does it take weeks to sculpt these things, massive?
No, I did it in 4 days.
Oh, wow. That seems awfully fast.
It moves quick. Ice cuts quickly. We use these beautiful high-carbon Japanese steel chisels and really good-quality chainsaws. And you can rip right through the stuff. So it's basically you get all the negative space off of what you want, and then the fine detail, that goes quick as well.
So, all right, it takes you only 4 days to craft these ice sculptures. But still, does it bother you to see those sculptures that you spent so much time on just melting away or maybe, I don't know, floating down the Charles River, when people are done seeing them?
Sounds like you were a first night organizer at one time. So no, it doesn't bother me at all, and it never has bothered me. All you need to do is grab a few really good pictures, and those are memories for life.
That sounds fantastic. Well, if you want to see Don Chappell's ice sculptures, you can head down to Copley Square. Don Chappell is the founder of Brilliant Ice Sculptures. Again, you can see his work around Boston this weekend. Thanks for joining us, and glad the weather is working out for someone.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. It's been great talking with you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.